In a conversation with a friend who's an atheist? Stop by the Utah Christian Research Center to see our selection of books that may be of help. The Utah Christian Research Center is open Wednesday through Saturday at 10 a.m. at 579 West Galena Park Place in Draper. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. What does it mean to think celestial? That was the title of a conference message by 17th President Russell M. Nelson. He's the 17th president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The subtitle for his talk that was printed in the Liahona magazine was, "Your choices will determine where you live throughout eternity and the kind of body with which you will be resurrected, and those with whom you will live forever." He begins talking about an ailment that he had, a temporary physical ailment that he had, and it caused him, he says, to reflect on what he says is the atonement of Christ. He goes on in this talk to say, "Because of Jesus Christ's infinite atonement, our Heavenly Father's plan is a perfect plan. An understanding of God's fabulous plan takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future." And then we ended yesterday's show by talking about that statement in this paragraph, how it takes the mystery out of life and the uncertainty out of our future. And I want to repeat again what I said yesterday. When you add works to the equation when it comes to how you are justified or declared right in the eyes of God, you actually take away all that certainty. There is no certainty if certain requirements must be met by you, because you have to examine yourself in such a way and be absolutely sure that you have met every single one of those requirements. You see, that's why we as New Testament Christians can honestly claim that certainty. We have assurance that we are saved because it's not based on what we have personally done. Even though as Christians, we should be doing a lot. We're not denying that we are saved unto good works. It's just that those good works are not what is required if we hope to be declared righteous before God.
Nelson continues in his talk and says, "It allows each of us to choose how we will live here on earth and where we will live forever. The baseless notion that we should eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us," that's the citation out of 2 Nephi 28:7, "is one of the most absurd lies in the universe."
And I don't think we would disagree that that certainly is a statement that would lead someone to be deceived. We don't see that living a hedonist life is a positive life. It certainly isn't in accord with what God expects for his people. So basically, I wouldn't disagree with what Nelson is saying here when it comes to that notion of eating, drinking, being merry, for tomorrow we die and it shall be well with us. That certainly would be a self-delusion, even from a Christian perspective. But I would again state, as I did yesterday, this is not all that profound. Nelson isn't the first one to come up with this. Many people have used that very same expression to show that that is a life of futility and is certainly not a life that gives you a fullness.
He continues, "Here's the great news of God's plan. The very things that will make your mortal life the best it can be are exactly the same things that will make your life throughout all eternity the best it can be. Today, to assist you to qualify for the rich blessings Heavenly Father has for you, I invite you to adopt the practice of thinking celestial. Thinking celestial means being spiritually minded. We learn from the Book of Mormon prophet Jacob that to be spiritually minded is life eternal."
Now, when I read this, I can't help but go back to what I said earlier. Again, this is not all that profound. I know there were a lot of Latter-day Saints, as you mentioned in yesterday's show, Eric, that were going on Facebook talking about what a great message this is. And I don't want to take away from the Latter-day Saint who hears what they think is a good message, but I sometimes think their accolades go a little bit over the top. when you talk about thinking celestial, and he says that thinking celestial means being spiritually minded, we've never heard that before. The phrase spiritually minded has never been said to those of us who are Christians. I mean, John Owen was a theologian from the University of Oxford. He died in 1683, wrote a book on being spiritually minded. Other Christian leaders have used that same phrase in other books and articles they've written. John Piper comes to mind. But this is something that we have had within Christian circles for centuries, so it's not all that unique. But Nelson takes this phrase, being spiritually minded, and he wants to brand it in a way that a Mormon can point to it and make it almost appear like it's original with them. Think celestial. But when you look at what he's actually going to say in this talk, thinking celestial or being spiritually minded is really not much different than an admonishment to be holy, to think like God thinks, to do what God would do. Now, are we ever going to be absolutely 100% holy during our sanctification process? No. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to strive towards that goal. I think we should, but we will never get there. And this, I think, is the chink in the Mormon armor, because he's going to talk about focusing on the celestial kingdom and keeping celestial law, and that there becomes a difficulty for a Latter-day Saint.
And you hit the nail on the head right there, Bill, because I think instead of think celestial, that's a neat little title, but it's synonymous with keep commandments. And how many of the commandments? All of the commandments. And we know that because when he says today to assist you to qualify for the rich blessings. Bill, would you ever say in Christianity that salvation, and I'm talking about justification by faith, we call it justification by faith alone, sola fides, is something that you have to qualify for?
No, because Jesus has drawn us to himself. Jesus is actually being the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that draws us to himself. But in Mormonism, it's all about you complying. And he uses that word qualify. As a New Testament Christian, if I qualify at all, it's not because of anything I did. And see, this is what we have to understand when we're talking to our LDS friends. We might both use that word qualify, but how we qualify is very different. We qualify by putting our faith and trust in what Christ did. Latter-day Saints, though they want to give some credit to Christ because if it wasn't for his quote-unquote atonement, they wouldn't be resurrected in the first place. They wouldn't have the ability to do all that they need to do as individuals in order to qualify. So we may use that word, but we're using it very differently. And I think this is another example, Eric, of why it's so important that we define our terms when we talk to our LDS friends.
He continues and says, mortality is a master class in learning to choose the things of greatest eternal import. Far too many people live as though this life is all there is. However, your choice today will determine three things: where you will live throughout all eternity, the kind of body with which you will be resurrected, and those with whom you will live forever. So think celestial.
Think celestial, but let's go back and look at what he says. Far too many people live as though this life is all there is. Well, I don't think we would disagree with that. A lot of people live that way. They have no thought regarding spiritual matters. I don't think that Christians would fall within that category, certainly. But what he's talking about when he mentions mortality is a master class in learning to choose the things of greatest eternal import, I think what he's referencing here is the LDS doctrine of a mortal probation. In Mormonism, we are going through basically three stages. There's a first estate, which is pre-mortality. Then there's the second estate, which is our mortality, which is what we're going through now. And then there's a third estate, which speaks of what your eternity is going to be like based on how you acted during this mortal probation. You've got to do it now. You cannot hope that after you die that you can make up for lost time. And I find talking to Latter-day Saints on the streets that many of them take this mortal probation as taught in the LDS Church very lightly, because they'll tell me, well, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do now, but that's okay. I'll have time after I die. But that's not really Mormon doctrine. That seems to undermine the whole purpose of why they are here right now. We are in this second estate, according to Mormonism, in order to prove ourselves. So that would mean you have to think celestial if you hope to qualify for the celestial kingdom. I guess, Eric, what I'm trying to get across on this is that when I hear him use think celestial, it's almost the way he uses it. It's like that old slogan, what would Jesus do? And I don't think that's really a bad guideline to think when you have a decision to make, is to ask yourself, well, what would my Savior do in a situation like this? I think what Nelson's doing is he's kind of stealing that concept, but he just, like you said, he gives it a catchy little phrase that is unique to Mormonism so that a Latter-day Saint can somehow own this idea that really Christians have owned for centuries. It's really not all that unique, as I said. He talks about the kind of body with which you will be resurrected and those with whom you will live forever. In Mormonism, depending on what glory you end up receiving, whether it's the celestial, terrestrial, or telestial glory, there are certain bodies, Mormonism teaches, that you will have in order to live out your eternity in that particular state. There's no place in the Bible that talks about anything like this because the Bible doesn't mention 3 degrees of glory as it's taught by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're going to have bodies that are going to be able to live forever. We are not going to have the mortal bodies that we have now. That's to be sure. And I think in both traditions, we would agree. It's just, what are those bodies going to be like? We don't agree in that area.
Well, I think he's probably getting this out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. In the King James, it says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. We've talked many times that celestial is not mentioned at all, but let me give you a quote from Joseph Fielding Smith in Doctrines of Salvation, volume 2, page 33, that refer to the different kinds of bodies you can have. He says, in section 88 of the Doctrine and Covenants, we are taught that there is a difference in the kinds of resurrection. Some will be raised with celestial bodies, some with terrestrial bodies, and some with telestial bodies, and yet others will be raised with bodies without any qualification or power of glory, and these will be sons of perdition.
And I think we need to go back to 1 Corinthians 15:40 that you mentioned earlier. There's no way Paul is talking about our bodies. He's talking about heavenly bodies, celestial bodies, and earthly bodies, terrestrial bodies. You have to read into the passage and make Paul say something that he was never intending in order to come up with the conclusion that Russell M. Nelson comes up with. So this is another classic case of an LDS leader misusing scripture to make it say something the author never intended. Sadly, in Mormonism, they're constantly taking passages out of context and twisting the passages in order to make them say something that the author never meant, but they want it to apply to maybe something that Joseph Smith said, or maybe Brigham Young, or any other leader in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.